Now, on the 12th of June, Tom Doyle and Anne-Marie Kenefick of Chernobyl Children's Trust Munster joined me in studio ahead of a fundraising walk that they were holding in Ardmore that Friday to have a chat about their experiences of Chernobyl and Belarus and to tell me about a fantastic group that will be arriving to Ireland for a month-long visit. And they promised me then they would call back with some of their visitors, and they were true to their word. Tom and Anne-Marie, good morning.
Morning, Linda.
Morning, how are you?
Thanks again.
Now, we are joined in studio by two very special and important people, Olga and Aira, who are the interpreters for the kids who came over on their trip. Guys, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
And I suppose we better start. Tom, I'll start with you. When you spoke to me back on the 12th of June, it was ahead of a walk that you were holding to raise some money to bring these guys back. Here we are, I suppose, 3 weeks later now at this stage, and the guys arrived when they arrived last Friday
they came into Dublin.
How are they doing so far?
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Tired, of course, as usual when they arrived, and some of them would have been travelling best part of 24 hours before they actually got back to Middleton that night. Stuck in traffic on the way down, of course, Friday evening, and all thanks to the driver, Mackie's coach, was great to us, took his time and looked after the kids, and they were ready for bed when we got back. So, and Olga and Aira are here to help us out. And that's about it, really. They're flying. Thanks be to God.
And Olga and Aira, how excited were the kids coming over?
Very.
Yeah.
That's the usual thing, actually. They're looking forward to it. So for those who are the repeat children, they're definitely looking forward to coming to Ireland.
For the newcomers,
it's totally new experience. They were very excited.
Because it's a very long trip. How long is the trip in total from the time they leave to the time they actually arrive? How long does that take?
Depending on where the children live, because some of them, all the children, they come from different parts of Belarus. So some of them started traveling the day before. So they had to get to Minsk airport first, and then we had to take two flights, one from Minsk to Paris and then from Paris to Dublin. So it's a pretty long journey.
It is. I mean, that's a long journey for an adult to take, let alone for kids, because these kids are ranging from 7 up into 18, isn't it?
Yeah, 18, yeah.
Aira, you might explain to us a little bit about, because I suppose a little bit about your own history. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in, so now it is the contaminated city, it is the second city of Belarus. But when Chernobyl happened, I was 12. And since that time, I've been living in the city for the whole of my life. I never moved. Some villages which were contaminated around the city were evacuated by the time, you know, because they were very small, and the authorities and the government were eager to evacuate, but they couldn't evacuate the second biggest city in Belarus. So we still live in the city, and we used to have special money from the government for paying. They paid for us for living in the contaminated area. But 15 years ago, they just said there is no radiation, so they stopped paying, you know, this money as well. So the politics of the government that is that we don't live in a contaminated area, but we do. Unfortunately, with the radiation, you can't see it, you can't feel it. It's only patches on the ground, you know, that was contaminated. And all the substances went straight into the ground, and we still grow and we still feed our animals and cattle, you know, from this land. So the consequences, we can feel the consequences now by deformities in children, thyroid cancer, is just loads of cases with thyroid cancer, and different stuff, really, loads of it, unfortunately, yeah.
When this happened and you were 12, did people in the area realize at the time how catastrophic this was?
Unfortunately, we were not told anything when it happened in the first place, and we still lived and carried on with our lives. But then in the May of 1986, we were informed that this catastrophe happened, and as we were kids, we didn't realize what impact it would have on our lives, but our parents understood exactly what happened. But unfortunately, they had no chance to move to any other place. So, And there are so many kids now living in these contaminated areas, and they suffer. I mean, it's not only environmental problems that we face, it's also economic problems. You know, that is the reason for them to come, not only because we still have medical reasons to come, but economic problems are still the same. You know, we are moving in a better position, but still the economic problems are very bad.
Olga, can you give the listeners an idea of what, I suppose, an average day looks like for some of these children that come over? Are a lot of these kids still living in these contaminated areas?
Most of them, I'd say. They all come from disadvantaged areas, and it could be a disadvantaged background for the families because, I mean, their parents can't afford to take them for a holiday somewhere. They're still stuck in the circumstances they live. And, I mean, having a chance to go to Ireland is just a lifetime chance, really. And as for the average day, they would still be at home doing nothing because parents work, children just stay at home, and they just live the way they do.
Are they aware, do you think, of how seriously contaminated the area is, of the long-term effects? Are they aware of that, or is it just something they grew up in and they just take it?
Yeah, I'd say so. They are not aware of the how dangerous it is for their health. It's not in the air, do you know?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, nobody speaks about it so loudly and, you know, openly. Nobody informs them. So it's just, they live the way they do because they have no other chance to do it.
Yeah. So. Is it a case of, Eira, you mentioned there that you were getting money for, it was 15 years or so, and, mm-hmm. and then it stopped. Mm-hmm. Is it a case of they genuinely believe that there is no longer contamination there, or is it, do you think, a case of they've just given up with giving the money?
They've given up only because there are economic reasons for not giving the money, you know, to the population. And as we still struggle through our living because the economic situation is still developing, you know. We're still just moving very slowly into just developed country. We're not developed country still. But that was the reason, I think, that they just stopped, only because that was economic reasons, really. And it is a great help that, you know, children are brought here, that some countries, Ireland, are among some countries that help still, you know, Italy brings children. But Ireland is just the country which has been helping for so many years, you know, and it's just a miracle for the children to come and have recuperative period and for their parents to have some sort of a break, you know, not to care about the children while they're here.
And that's the thing, and we spoke about this, Tom, the last time you were on as well. It's an extremely brave thing, I think, for a parent to allow their children go across to a different country where it's not their native language. They're spending a month there. But I'm guessing that parents do that out of pure love for their kids, that they recognise the need for
it. They do. The parents do recognise the impact of their staying here in Ireland will have on their children. And of course they are eager to send them, though it's very difficult, especially when you think, when they're only 7, when they go abroad.
They're only babies.
They're only babies, but still, we are here to mind them.
I know, and two very capable people, you're absolutely.
And there are special medical reasons, again, just for them to come, you know, like we have dental treatments, we have hospital visits as well. If there is any problem with the child concerning whatever, really, we try to find way, you know, and the Irish again try to find the place in the hospital. And all the years we've been to hospital so many times, but still children benefit from that medical care because they have their teeth done here, they have their eyes checked here, and over the years the doctors can follow the progress, you know. We used to have a girl, she's here at the moment, and she had very very bad feet, you know, and we were looking after her over the years, and she's going to visit a specialist this year as well. So it's just all children just benefit from not only housewives and breathing good air, eating good food, but also medical reasons that are covered here as well. So it's pretty good thing, really.
Yeah.
I suppose the beauty of the trust overall, Linda, would be that back in Belarus, but the LCL this morning, like, they're university lecturers, they're merely interpreters here at all. And the beauty of the trust is that everyone in it is in a voluntary capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it, really, the overall scheme. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah,
so and it's important to point that out. Really.
It is, and we spoke about that mm-hmm. the last time that you're here as well, because these things, they can't happen unless a group of like-minded people who all want mm-hmm. to help, mm-hmm. and that's the key thing here, is it's people who just genuinely want to help. And it's an incredible thing for you two guys to do, mm-hmm. to volunteer your time and to make that big journey. I mean, it's not as if you're only going 2 hours up the road with these guys. I mean, you're coming however many thousands of miles over here. Is this something that you do every year? Have you done a few trips or...?
Yeah, it's been quite a few times I've been here.
Yeah. You're fed up looking at them. Yeah.
But we like it.
And we benefit as well, as we live in a contaminated area ourselves. You know, it was scientifically proved when we first came, and we heard that there were measurements done at the airport before we go abroad, and then we used to come back and they measured the level of radiation in our bodies. And actually, it is scientifically proved that being away from contaminated area for months makes your level of radiation in your body just 50% reduced. So it's so, for us, it's also important because we live in contaminated areas ourselves. We prefer not to think about it, if you ask whether we are thinking about it all the time. We are not thinking about it.
There probably has to come a point where you have to just stop, because you're just going to live under a cloud constantly if you don't.
Exactly, because we have our families, our moms and dads live there, you know. We have our own families, we have our own kids. So we prefer not to think about it. But you see, it is scientifically proved that being away for one month in the very good area, so just reduce level of radiation in your body. So. Mm.
Have you seen an improvement? Because we mentioned at the start of this, some children are here for the first time and some children have been here several times. For the children, I suppose, that have been here several times, have you seen an improvement in their health, an improvement in themselves, I suppose, coming to Ireland? Does it help, do you think?
It does. You see, we have several reasons for bringing kids over here. Some kids would be from contaminated areas, some kids would be from a very, very poor and troublesome background, you know. And what I noticed was that coming here is just, we show all the Irish family show the way how they live, you know, how your life can be improved, you know, and probably that gives
it motivates them.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I would say so. Them. How to live and how to make living, you know, because everybody, like, I know that Irish families just give up, you know, their jobs while the children are here, and they do it sometimes during their holidays, and we thank them so much for that. But you see, the Belarusian kids see what level or standard of living they can have if they work or if they have some goals in their lives, so they can achieve. And magically as well, you know, you can see the blooming child, you know, live in Ireland after the months spent in here in Ireland. So it's, yeah, we can see it. And we know so many kids who used to be kids, but now they're adults and they are just, you know, at universities. Some of them got their jobs and they try, you know, to make better
living. They progress in their lives anyway.
Yeah, that's very good, you know, we can see it, yeah.
It's pretty, Tom, I might go to you on this one. You spoke with me the last time that you were here, and I think it's very important for people to understand as well that the progress of these children are followed all the way through. It's not just a case of they arrive in Ireland for the 4 weeks and then until they come back next year. The progress is followed all the way through, isn't it? Yeah. Mm.
It started to transgress over the years. It started off with just the children alone. And of course, then you get close to the family. And it goes right through, basically, like I said, from the cradle to the grave. And you get so attached to them and so fond of them. You don't just dump them after, say, a month here. Like, you know, we have ground workers outside in Belarus, like the two girls. And any little problems, and believe me, they're plentiful. That's they're catered for as well. Like, bringing them here would be maybe one of 8 projects we have. So the other seven would be primarily in within Belarus. Again, like food, clothing, heating, stuff, general day-to-day stuff, really. Like, like I spoke to you last day about the cost of things out there is horrendous, you know, and the salary is so low.
And I think that was a bit of an eye-opener for people who would have heard you the last time, because I honestly, and I said it to you the last time, I don't think people get it. I think people understand that there was this horrific accident that happened and that there's long-term effects, but I just don't think people understand the actual reality of the situation over there. And that's why it's so important for you guys to be sitting here in front of me today.
Because it's so long ago since the actual...
It's over 30 years, isn't it, since the actual thing?
Like I said, the last day, people are fantastic when something's needed, you know. Mm. And we've had great support and continue to have it down the years, without a doubt. Yeah. Mm. People are absolutely brilliant. Mm.
And Marie, I might get you in here. From a host family's perspective, how glad are you, first of all, that the guys are after arriving here?
As Olga said, the excitement, I think, is both ways. It's, you know, and for repeats, for new families, I think when you're getting new kids, it's just really exciting because you know, you don't know their personality and it's an exciting time to get to know them and stuff. And then for repeats, you know, like even for my daughter and my niece and stuff, it's, you know, they're waiting for, it's like their cousins.
You said that the last time that it was nearly like Christmas waiting for the guys to come back.
Yeah, it's just, it's magical, like, you know, and it's definitely both parts. It's, I would imagine it's the kids coming over, but it's this side as well, that they're really excited to see their friends again. And I noticed a huge difference in seeing the kids come over this time. I was at Dublin Airport and like how they've grown and, you know, they look so grown up and stuff. So it's nice to see repeat kids come back again and see the difference in them year after year and stuff. It's just a pleasure, really. Yeah.
And I suppose the work will continue after the guys go home, and the work will continue, I suppose, from your part here. You'll have to continue to raise funds and stuff like that.
I suppose, Linda, sorry for interrupting you, but it's so important to host families. They are so important people to us. Without those people who welcome the kids into their homes, we just wouldn't operate, simple as that. Really brilliant. And they'll tell you time and again that their own children benefit so much from living with the Belarusian children. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah.
And families, it is, we can't thank them enough for it.
Absolutely, because, I mean, we said it earlier, it only works if people come together, and it's an incredibly selfless thing to do to bring people into your home as part of your family for 4 weeks or however long it is. And it's an amazing thing to do. If people are listening here and they would like to maybe become a host family or they would like to get involved, can they?
Yeah, we're always looking for new host families, and the more host families we have, the more kids we can invite over, which is great. And already, I think the series of Chernobyl kind of, as you said, it's, I don't know, is it because it was 33 years ago, or I watched the series again last night for the second time, and I was kind of wondering, like, how did we not hear about this, you know, to the extent or to the reality of what's still happening? But I think that's kind of opened up people's awareness as well. So already we've had inquiries about next year, so we do have a list, and as I said, the more host families, the more kids we can invite over. So we can be contacted on Facebook, or I'm sure here if they want to ring the station,
absolutely,
you can pass on my number. And yes, we're always looking for host families, you know. And they are amazing, as Ira said, like, some of these families take time off work and it's their annual leave to invite these kids in and just, you know, have them part of their family, and it's amazing, like, you know.
And it's not about being wealthy or having a big house or whatever, like, it's just a bit of TLC is all we ask, you know, and just, like, you love your own kids, treat your children the same.
Absolutely.
You certainly get more benefits from it than you'll give any of it.
And that's the thing, and I do, and I agree with you, Tom, I think you'll get a lot more from it than what you give to it. You have to. You just have to. What is the plan so for the next few weeks? Are the guys going to do activities? Are they going to do tours? What's the plan of action?
We have some sort of outings. They will be either foster family or, sorry, host family's audience, or it there will be a committee audience. So on Thursday, we are going to visit Trebolgan, and next week we are going to Fota and Eyre-Tarstic and canoeing. I think Tom is arranging canoeing, yeah, for some older kids. So usually we meet up as a group, you know, and we spend time together. And also if our host family has any problems, like sometimes, you know, kids are kids, they just cross sometimes the line, they just push this line.
Yeah.
So, but we are here, as interpreters are here to help. So, yeah, we are doing the outings as well.
Yeah, and it's and it must be exciting for the kids to get to go to Trebolgan and to Fota, places that we have on our doorstep and we do take them for granted. But those kids must be, because I would imagine they don't get to do these type of day trips at home, do they?
At all, no. We don't have the facilities. And, you know, even being here and just for many of them to see the sea is the first time in their lives ever.
And so, which again, it's something that we just, I mean,
you just take, for, take granted, for granted. Yeah.
We just look out the window and here it is.
Just, you know, to walk on the beach and just to have to touch the salty water, you know, even this is an experience as well.
No, it's absolutely brilliant.
And you see, unfortunately, I haven't seen through the itinerary very carefully, and I didn't mention parks, that is a local, and we have been using the facilities, thank you very much, for so many years, and thank you very much indeed.
And parks are another fabulous facility that we have here as well. I've run out of time, unfortunately, because I could actually spend all day talking to you. Listen, I said it to you the last time. It is brilliant what you guys do. It's amazing what you guys do.
Thank you.
And I think every single child that gets to come here will benefit from it. And,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you know, and it's a big family. It's a big international family. This is what we should all be doing. Do you know, it doesn't matter what country we're from. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter. Do you know, if we all just reached out and helped, this would be such an amazing place to do. The guys are around for another 3.5 weeks, really, at this stage. We might touch base afterwards when the guys have gone back and just do a bit of a recap and stuff like that as well. If you need, and I said it last time, if you need anything at all, let me know, all right? Get in contact.
You.
If you have any pics or anything like that of the guys, if you'd like to share them on social media, I think listeners might like to have a look and see how they're going and stuff like that. It'd be brilliant if you kept us up to date on that as well. Huge thank you for coming in to us. If you want to get in contact with Anne-Marie or Tom, Chernobyl Children's Trust Munster is the Facebook page, or ring us here in the station 024 911 99, and we'll get you in contact with Anne-Marie. Guys, thanks a million for coming in to me.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for inviting.